You might like to open your Bible to Matthew and chapter 13. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can do just that. So help us, Spirit of God, thank you. And our Lord, be honored. Thank you for your presence. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of Matthew chapter 13, as we're coming to a conclusion, we'll put that together better, perhaps. But I'd like to just do a little bit that might be ahead of it. And in the light of that, in Matthew chapter 13, we're down to verse 51. And Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood all these things? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord, yes, Lord, we have. Have you understood? And we need to understand so that we can say we understood. I understood because I understand. So, in the light of that, the word, the verb, understand, is used throughout the chapter 13. And in the process, it has to do with to bring all things together. It's like a stream. We mentioned the Nile, we mentioned the Amazon River, whatever down there in South America, and that has the biggest basin in the world, I think. And all the streams flow into it, and it becomes a giant basin, movement of water. To have everything come together, to have all the pieces come together to make a whole. To make a whole lot of words, a little letters of the alphabet, all coming together to make a sentence. They come together, they flow together, to bring them together, to comprehend, to have discernment, if you would. Now, so that's the word that we're looking at, to have that. That's God wants to know, do we have that bringing it together? And that's what we're doing. We're looking at all the parts and then trying to make sure we understand the whole. Where is it going? What's it trying to say to us? Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, to lay it to heart, if you would. In Matthew chapter 13, you would recall as we did Matthew 13, and looking at the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, of the heaven, in verse 11. And then we slid down and we did verse 13. And verse 13, Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. There's your word. To bring things together. They can't put the pieces together. They don't understand. And so again, God does it again. Remember, this is quoting a moving, it's a movement of thought from Isaiah, chapter 6, where God tells Isaiah is given an assignment, who shall I send? And Isaiah says, send me, and 9, 10, and 11 of Isaiah 6. And God is going to go in his most wonderful way and help Isaiah understand that Israel is the 10 tribes in the north are not going to listen, and the 2 tribes in the south are not going to listen. All Israel as a nation is not going to listen. They're going to have the prophets, but it won't do any good to have the prophets, because they won't listen to the prophets. So, and that's, it's going to be quoted here, quoted in Matthew, in Acts chapter 28. It's quoted because this, back then in Isaiah's day, Jeremiah's day, our Lord's day, which is here, we have an adulterous, unbelieving generation. So, come to verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. And again, understanding. And verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they don't want it to happen, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They don't want that to happen. So how do they avoid it? Make sure you don't understand. You don't understand anything. So when you slide over to verse 19, as we did, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, is your little verb, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth the way that which is sown in his heart, which this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So we're going to find the issue is, do you understand? Now the people didn't want to understand, and chapter 13, up in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if you have ears to hear, slide down to verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now the people are not going to be blessed. The people do not want to understand, and they didn't. But the disciples, there they are, and God's helping them. God helped us as he did them, and we went through the chapter 13 as we did to get help to understand the flow of history that we're in the middle of right now, not the middle of it anymore, but we're going down the corridor of time. So here we are looking. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the general mood of the world, the general thinking of the world, from way back in Noah's day. Now, did the people in Noah's day, before the Genesis flood, did they for 120 years know God was going to do something? And they knew it. They had 120 years to consider what God was going to do as Noah built the ark. And they had all of that time. Did they understand? They did, but they didn't. They didn't want to understand. What was the message Noah was bringing for 120 years? God is going to bring the Genesis flood and judgment. But they didn't want to hear it. So that's a mood. It's all through human history. So therefore, over to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, picking up the thought in the light of that. They don't want to understand, so I need to, as I look out the window, as I go to work, school, whatever we do, that's all the people coming and going. How much, ask yourself, how much do they understand of what's happening? Now, they got all the stuff going on, and it's very frustrating. There's no question, the more they do, the more frustrating it is. And the big powers, the computer wizards and all the people that are in command of all this stuff going on, using it, artificial intelligence and everything, doing all of this in their power. And they're doing it. And they're calling the shots. I just heard another thing John gave me of they are dumb. You could, if you want to know about communism, all you had to do was pick up a book, Stalin and others that did, and you want to read about it, they'll tell you what they did. What do they believe? This is what they believe. And here's what they're putting it out in print, what they believe and what they're doing with a global government and all of it. That's what they're telling you. The why the administration, how they're doing, the different people in the White House and all of that. They tell you. So it isn't a big guessing game about anything. They're telling you what they're doing. And they're very good at what they're doing. It's just no one's paying attention. Now, it seems. Now, having said that, Romans chapter 1, if I can, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, the foolish heart, little word, foolish, is the word without understanding. Foolish, without understanding. Foolish, without understanding. Without understanding. And verse 22 then, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools without no understanding. Understanding is critical. If you're going to go anywhere or understand something, you've got to have understanding. Therefore, over to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 11, and may I pick up, please, chapter 11, picking up in verse 25. Here's our Lord. Remember now, the background is that the Galilean ministry up the north and all of that was rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his disciples out, and they had nothing to do with them. And so that's why you have in chapter 11, verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin and Bethsaida, etc., mighty works, all the way down. So it's a judgment of the whole works up there. Now, so when you come to that judgment, then there is the word from God for encouragement. And you come to verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Now, do you see the word prudent? That's the word understanding, what you're looking at. Only it's translated prudent, prudent, wise, understanding, discernment, comprehension. Prudent. They're wise and prudent. And you didn't give it to the wise and prudent. They wanted to know what was the problem with the wise and prudent. Well, the wise and prudent what do us humans do? Our pride is promoted. How do we, our pride, which God hates, pride is the exaltation of self. And pride, it does what? Well, pride goes and promotes itself by reason. We reason, we understand, quote unquote. We understand this, we understand that, and we can do this, and we can do that. And our reason, think of the age of reason in history. And here's the reason. And what does reason do? Reason promotes self. Pride. So we like to reason. Hang on to that. It'll come balance out, I hope, in the process. Now, I'd like to reason. Human reason. And you'll remember, here's a little word. Back up and look at verse 25. The end, the last word, God has revealed, not to the wise and prudent, no. Who did you reveal what truth to? You revealed them unto babes. And the word baby there is without speech, a baby that can't speak yet. They haven't advanced far enough to speak, without the power of speech. A baby. We've had the same thing in our study in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. We need to go. You need to go from milk to strong food, strong meat, but you're still on milk. What does milk do? Then, verse 13, he is a babe. He's a baby. He's still a baby. He's still infant. He's still on milk. That's where he is. So that's the little word, baby, to baby, infant, the power of speech. And so God has given truth to, not to the wise and prudent. No, they got thousands of books and they write all kinds of things, but that they don't have the truth. They don't know the truth. The Jews were very smart back then, but they didn't know the truth. They didn't know the truth. Romans chapter 1, the people are very smart, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. They were very smart, but they don't know the truth. They don't understand. Now, having said that, Mark and chapter 7. And in Mark chapter 7, may I pick up the thought, remember now, if I can, remember what we did in Matthew 13, verse 13, 14, 15, quoting from Isaiah. Hang on to that, because we're staying the same movement. Mark chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 6. And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, for it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men, laying aside the commandment of God. Ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, etc., etc. Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. Why don't you honor? Why don't you understand? Because you're trying to keep your own system of whatever thought. That's what people do. This is what I think about what the Bible, what we're looking at. This is what I think or don't think. And we hang on to that. We aren't going to let that go. That's our trouble. We have to let it go and test it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, sliding down, if I can, in verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through, how so? By your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things do you. In other words, what you think outweighs what God says. So you're always going by what you think and what you feel and what you understand. And the people that are writing these manuals and guidelines for the administration and everybody to follow what they're going to do globally, et cetera, in the light of the weather, climate, and all of that, what they're doing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 17, And I'll read verse 16, because you keep getting the flavor of it. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered, you keep listening. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding? There's your little verb. Also, now they don't understand, and you don't understand. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, and it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth into the draught, which gets rid of everything, purging all meats, foods. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. It's what's in our heart. That's the problem. And as you're reading, so you see it, down, sliding down to verse 22. Thefts and covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. So that's the evil part. We did this morning, the evil one. And the evil one promotes the evil within us. That's why he's so successful. He couldn't do it with the Lord because there's no evil. But he can do it with us. We got that evil nature in us, and you can now use it. You can make us doubt, question, fear, stumble, be disappointed, discouraged, depressed. You can do that to us. Why? We got that old nature. That's why you can do it. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, do you understand? Open, if I can, chapter 8. And in chapter 8, doing it again, that they needed to understand. And they expected to be understand, reasonably understand. Verse 15. Verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive you ye not yet, neither understand, there's your little word, have ye your heart yet hardened, still hardened. Verse 18, and having eyes, see you not, and having ears, hear you not, and do you not remember? So he keeps referring back to the same sequence that characterizes the humans. We don't want to hear, we don't want to see, and we don't want to understand. So therefore, we don't have any benefits. Verse 19, and when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they say unto him, 12. Well, see that you can understand some things. How many are apples are in the basket? 10. Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. You don't need to be saved. You don't, just use your common sense. Can you understand? Now, what did you do? Well, we had 12 baskets full. Verse 20. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. Now, verse 21. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? See, you can do this. Matthew 16, you have to turn there. You understand the weather. You can discern the weather. It was going to rain, whatever it's going to do. You can discern the weather. But you can't discern the times in which you live. Do you understand what's happening? Well, no. But you can do that. You just don't. Why can't you do it? I don't want to see, and I don't want to hear, and I don't want to understand what you're trying to say. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, I really don't want to know where that's going. I really don't want to know. Now, so therefore, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, exercise, Deuteronomy, and chapter 4. In Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Now let's see where we can go. In the light of that, what was Israel's assignment? They were to be a testimony to all of the nations of the world, including Egypt. Where did they spend 400 years? In Egypt. Egypt is the great kingdom of Egypt, with all of its pyramids and libraries and Alexandria and all of those. Wow! It's the place of knowledge, power, understanding. Yeah. And they were raised there. And God exited them out. And they're going to be a testimony to the Egyptians and to everyone else. So therefore, in being so, God introduced himself at Mount Sinai. God spoke. He gave his word. He gave them understanding of his law and his judgments and all of those things. He gave them understanding. So then you didn't get this in Egypt. We've got the Zeus and all the different gods, but you didn't get anything that you got at Mount Sinai. You Israelites are going to be instructed in not in the Egyptian wonderment of knowledge and being able to take care of mummies and keep them and pack them up and away in a box, and 5,000 years later you find it and say, wow. Now, so, verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your what? Understanding. What is your wisdom and understanding? You know what I'm telling you. I want you to honor what I'm telling you. If you understand, here's Matthew 13, do you understand what's going to happen? Hang on to that, we'll do it afterwards. Now, verse 6 again, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. Where are they going to hear it? From Israel. And say, surely this great nation is a wise and what? Understanding people. That's right. These people understand. David had a group of men, remember, that had great discernment of the time. They understood the times in which they live. So they understood how to handle battle, how to play the game. So verse 7, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And verse 8, for what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? In other words, you're going to have an understanding of where heaven's coming from and where God is going to go on planet Earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, where's it going to go? It's going to go. And so the nations don't have it. They got it. They're all plowing along with globalism and all these things we mentioned lightly a minute ago. But going all along with them, rolling up their sleeves and doing it with zest. And the rest of people sort of sit back and it's just going to pass them right by because they aren't going to stop it. They don't have an agenda. They aren't rolling up their sleeves to do it. They're just doing it now. So therefore, here's Israel, and Israel was to be a testimony to all of the nations of the world. That's what they were to be. They meant, but the problem, remember, 1 Samuel 8, they what? They didn't want to be like the nation. They didn't want to be God's nation. We want to be like the other nations. And because we want to be like the other nations, we are not going to honor you. And by the way, you might as well do that, since it's safe, because that's good to see it. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and you will note, I'm going to make a point for you to see if I can. 1 Samuel chapter 8, picking up verse 5, and he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So we want to be like them. We don't want to be like different. We don't want to have understanding. But the thing displeased Samuel, etc., when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say, listen to them. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So the problem isn't you, Samuel. It's God. God's the problem. Because God is thinking isn't the world's thinking. We mentioned that's why they hate. That's why they hate. They hate believers in the light. You understand, it all stays the same movement wonderfully. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, go with me, please, over to Proverbs. And if I can, Proverbs chapter 1. And So you enter the room where Proverbs is, and you're going to go, and it's all about wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's what God did that for Samson, for King Solomon. King Solomon didn't have a heart like David, but King Solomon wanted to rule the people well because they were God's people, and that's what he wanted. He himself was going to sort of lose it, but God did something wonderful for him since he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for power, he didn't ask to be like powerful like David, going in and coming out and being blessed. He never asked that. So God gave him this huge wisdom about everything, and only God can do it, and he did it. And that's Proverbs, many of them. So now, here we are, chapter 1, picking up, please, catch the flavor of it. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So understanding is very important. Do you bring all the pieces together to make the whole? Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark sayings. The fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to know. They don't want to understand. So now, having said that, since they don't want to know and don't want to understand. So, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. They don't want to know. Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't want to know. They don't want to have a healthy, holy, happy, understanding relationship with God. They don't want to have that. So now we come to chapter 2 of Proverbs. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ears unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Understanding, you understand. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for, what am I I'm looking for? Understanding. I'm hunting, going for understanding. If thou seekest her, verse 4, as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You're really busy wanting to understand, and you need to want to understand so that you can understand. Verse 5 again, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now you're going to understand, and you've got to keep pursuing and hunting it, looking for it, over to chapter 9. If I can. And in chapter 9, all kinds of ways, just to get the flavor of it, what's the whole point? You need to have understanding. Do you understand what I said? Do you understand what I'm doing? Do you understand where it's going? Do you understand? Because as you go to the next part of Matthew chapter 13, you are stewards. The believing heart right now is a steward of all of this truth. They're stewards. They're the household managers of all of this wonderful truth. Now, how much of the truth do I have, do I understand, of the mysteries? And God honors that wonderfully. Hang on. Now, chapter 9, Proverbs. Verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, literally, is understanding. Holy, the Holy One, God. The knowledge of God, is understanding. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so, now, God, help us some more. Well, in history, In history, there's always the Abraham, wonderful Abraham, and to believe like Abraham by faith. But then there's the fellow named Job. And Job comes along, had a wonderful relationship to God, and God blessed him all over the place. And God also tested him and took it all away, and Job was exercised in a most wonderful way. And Job was struggling to try to figure out why it happened, and his friends, Eliphaz and them, were saying to him, you know, you're guilty, you must have done something wrong, Job. That's why all of this is happening to you physically, family-wise, business-wise. You're in trouble. Now, over to Proverbs, Job, chapter 28. Job in chapter 28. And what I just said about Eliphaz, that was the background for what we're looking at in chapter 28. In other words, Job is looking to answer all the thing. Job, you're a sinner, you're a bad guy, you must be, this would never happen to you if you were a good guy. And Job listened to it, and now he's going to try to answer it, among other things. Job 28. And chapter 28, Job does a wonderful thing, as Job could, and he looks and looks and looks everywhere, and all the earth is so full of everything, and human ability, us humans, says Job, us humans are able to go in all kinds of ways, to have all kinds of things. Chapter 28. So God is God. Us humans are everywhere. So Job, you're going to tell us that. There is a vein, verse 1, for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the hill, earth. Brass or bronze is molten out of the stone. He set an end to darkness and searcheth all the perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. So he's going to list a whole list. We're all over, people to do. They mine, they dig, they punt, they do everything. Verse 6, the stones of it are like the place in the place of sapphires. It hath dust of gold. We find all kinds of things. In the rivers and the land and the mountains, we find it. Awesome. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? We do all kinds of things. There's no question. That's why the Lord rebukes the world. You understand what you want to understand. That's what you do. You discern the season, the time, and everything you want to. You don't discern what you should be looking at. You don't. You don't want to know it. We have eyes to see, don't want to see. Ears to hear, we don't want to hear. A heart to understand, we don't want to understand. Now, verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof. You can't buy it, neither is it found in the land of living. There's no mountain, no valley, no. You can't go 7 miles down in the ocean and find it. Not there. The man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten from gold. No matter how much, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, or with the precious onyx, and or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. In other words, there's no way to buy. You meant wisdom or not understanding. Verse 18, no mention shall be made of coral and of pearls, And that's the only place we mentioned pearls in the Old Testament. And for the price of wisdom is above, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. There's just no way. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Well, where are we going to hunt? Where are we going to go? Library of Congress, that sounds a lot of books. Verse 21, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof. He knoweth the place thereof. God understands. God understands. God knows where to find wisdom. Verse 24. For he looked to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the wind, make the weight for the wind, and he weigheth the water by measure. In other words, how do you weigh wind? God weighs the dust in the air. Weighs the dust. How do you weigh the dust? God, there's nothing you can't do. That's right. Verse 26. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then said, verse 27, then said he, see it and declare it, and he prepared it, yea, and searched it out. God, it's all there to be understood if you want to understand. Verse 28, and unto man he saith, behold, all of nature's there in its awesomeness. But to us humans, verse 28, unto man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Understanding. Where are we going to get it, God, except to you? So, understanding, understood, that's what the Lord said. Do you guys understand? The disciples have just been listening to all of this, and we've been looking at the same thing they did. They heard, we read it, and we're looking at it. Do you understand what you want? Are you understanding what is to be understood? Question. Now, in tying that together, if I can, over if you would please, to Luke, Matthew 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, picking up if I may, and in the process, chapter 18 of Matthew. So, looking, and I need to go to Matthew, otherwise we won't be in the same place. Matthew chapter 18, and in the process, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called the little child unto him and said, sent him in the midst of them. Now that you have to understand, here's the little child sitting down in the midst of all the disciples. And he saith, verily I say unto you, most assuredly I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now the word children there is different than babe in Matthew 11:25. That means a little infant. One is without the power of speech. This one is just little infants. Same thing, basically. They're little infants. Wow. And you've got to become as little children. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, looking for all the benefits, as it were, the little children are there, and the little infant children, and you got to become as the little children, little child, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, same word all the way through, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever shall receive one such little child, there it is again, in my name receiveth me. And verse 6, whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, so you have no question, they're little believers, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he went and were drowned in the depths of the sea. It was better that he could drop down in the bottom of the ocean than he offend one of my little ones. God loves his own. We just read it this morning. He protects them, surrounds them. But evil one, the world isn't happy. But, so you got to be as little children. Little children, that's what you have to be. Little children, little infants. You got to be as a child. And you got to be what? So what's wonderful about a little child? Well, they're very simple. They're very real. They just grow. And why do they grow? You and I, not probably you guys wouldn't, but it happens sometimes to people. You get a big thing that you have to put together or read all the instructions about to put it together. Somehow they packaged it. No one knows how, because you can't get it out of the package, and you'll never get it back in the package. So however they did it. Now, so in the process, all of that is there, and it's, we're looking at that. We have all this, and we adults can look at it, and the fine print and everything, and play with it. You people, computer wise, they don't, but people like me would do and look at it, and you have to, all these different things you have to do, but a little kid comes along, little one. And they can't even read. They can't even read. But they can push buttons, and whatever they got going in their little head, it's busy. And they get the thing going. They just did it. They're childlike. Not childish. Childlike. And that's what makes researchers, science, that's what makes people. If you're an adult, we don't do that. We don't have the child's mind anymore. We gave it up. We gave it up to be an adult. And that's terrible. Our Lord Jesus is going to say, would you please notice, going a little further, sliding over if I can, over to verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, they're just a little believer. What do they know? They just humble. They accept you. Matthew 11:25. I thank God, said the Lord, that you've given it unto little babies instead of babes, instead of adult wise and prudent. The wise and prudent make a mockery of it. They do. But the little kid doesn't do that. He's very sincere and real in a most wonderful way. God said, verse 10, chapter 18, take heed, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. They're always looking. Angels are waiting for their assignment. Wonderful. Looking to God. For what? On behalf of believers. Waiting as they have their assignment to go. Wow. Wow, the little believer. They're just nobody. Uh-huh. But God loves them and surrounds them, protects them. And God's going to do a wonderful thing with them. So now they need to be as little children. And so little children, you've got to be childlike, not childish. And you want to have that. And we're told in Corinthians in that, we need to be in badness, little children. But in knowledge, understanding, we should grow up and learn and understand. So how are we going to do that? We got to be little children. And we got to maintain that simple, wonderful relationship to God, a childlikeness. That isn't taking away from anything. It's just the mindset. that we lose it. We get set in our thinking and our thoughts. We do this little study, but then this study has to sit in our head, and whatever we think in our head, we'll send out, we'll take whatever part of this you want or don't want, and it'll all disappear, because it's in our head already. Instead of, wow, I want to get that, see? And you want to have that. You want to have that in your heart. And you can have it in your heart. You do. But that's what I did as a boy. I told you all these things. That's how I grew up. I loved going to Chinatown when I had to do things with my deliveries and stuff in Boston. This little boy. Why? To sit and listen to the Chinese talk to each other. And they're saying things. Wow. Wow. The wise men talking. Wow. To learn from them. That's right. That's how you learn. That's how we learn. That's how I learn. That's how I learn. That's how you learn. Little children, that's what I do. You do it. And it's just going to come. It's not going to end. Because we're childlike, not childish. There's a difference. Now, having said that, over if you would in Matthew, in one place, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 21. And we need to be childlike, confident, comfortable. We don't want to get caught up in the adult world where we lose that childlikeness. We don't want to lose it. That's how we stay fresh and learn and grow. Wow. So now, John chapter 21, our Lord, after his resurrection, going, if I can, down, remember now, they're out fishing. They don't believe. They're having to get educated about the resurrected, the Lord's resurrection. They're having to get educated. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. So now, having said that, chapter 21, verse 5. They're out fishing because what can we do? It's all over. The Christ has got crucified and risen, and our job is, there's nothing to do. Verse 5. Then said Jesus unto them, Children, have you any meat or food? And they answered him, No. So remember, they're fishing all night. And see the little word children? Little infants. He tells them, here's Peter, James, and John. So don't get offended to say, I tell you, you have to be childlike. You do. That's what you have to do. Say, I don't want to be childlike. I want to grow up. You don't want to grow up like that. You don't want to do that now. So what did he say to them? Children, little children, did you catch anything? And of course they said, no. No, we didn't. We fished all night and got nothing. And the Lord's there. And by the way, he says, throw your net over the side. And they pull in a net so full of fish that it would break. They break the net in then, and he has breakfast ready for them. Now, he already has the fire going. He already has fish already cooked, all ready to eat. And he tells them to bring some more fish, so they have more fish. And he has fish all ready to eat, and they come. They come. And he feeds them. And they said, wow. That's what they said. They didn't realize it was him. So now, how he said, little children. You got to be little children. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. The Apostle John is going to write to us believers, and he says, little children, the Antichrist is coming. Little children, are you paying attention, discerning? Antichrist, he's on the way. The spirit, the mood is already there in John's day. Now, having said that, so therefore, you know, a few years ago, somewhere in the past, I was able to go to hear the Vienna Boys Choir. And the Vienna Boys, I think, was up in Massachusetts. And the Vienna Boys Choir was something else. I always thought that was awesome. They could sing like that. And they did. So, what makes them so awesome? They have a naivety, that is, a childlike, genuine innocent simplicity. They lack any artificialness. They're real. They're real. Real, real little children. But they practice a performance, a skill that takes a lot of work when they sing. They combine the childlikeness in them and their discipline to learn to sing like that. Wow. At the rehearsal and at the program. Wow. Wow. You got it? Little children. I've said that 1,000 times to you and to myself over the years. Little children. Now, to enjoy the wonderful what we're going to look at in Matthew 13 and put that all together. But if you don't come understanding, you have to have understanding that needs to be understood. And how am I going to get it? Like Job, there's nowhere to find it except with God. And that's why Timothy will say in that, to God writing, and the Lord give you what? Understanding. The Lord give you understanding. That's what you need. It makes a difference. If you don't understand, you're all over the place. The more you understand, you're locked onto targets. You got it. You're moving. Now, so that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have that. And it's an awesome thing. Not many people do, because we like to grow up. To grow up, to be whatever. And we lose that. We lose that. We don't want to lose it. So you have to fight and be, what to do is look and make sure that you're able to go and say, listen, I don't want to lose that wonderful, genuine simplicity. That wonderful, that we said it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't lose the simplicity that's in Christ. Simplicity, don't lose it. Once you lose, that's what the devil wants you to lose, the simplicity. He's the what? Abba, what? Abba, Father. He's the Father. The children, the Father. Not the big shot and the Lord, no. Though that's true, not the big shot, but the Lord. The Father, he's my Father. Your Father, if you're saved. He's your Father even if you aren't saved. Because he's the one that created you. So you lose no matter how you do this. So therefore, God, what are you saying? God, you're going to go, and we're going to look to you, and you're going to do it. My Father, as little children. And that's how we survive. And we can fight. How could David fight? How could Samson fight? How could any of them? Because we're looking to God. To make us strong and of good courage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Understand. Do you understand so that you understood what I'm saying? Wow. Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. So deal with us as we stumble along. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.